It is Sunday, 23rd of August. I'm Anthony, VK6AXB, and welcome to News West. Continuing the VK6 history of these broadcasts, going back to 1931. In this week's news, we've got report backs from the RD contest and lighthouse activations on the weekend just gone, and also news of some big events on the weekend that's coming up. Here's Angelo to tell us about one.
Hi everyone, this is Angelo Giffray, VK2NWT, with an ARIS update for Western Australia. On Saturday, the 29th of August, Rockingham Scout Group, Rockingham, Western Australia, will have an arranged contact with astronaut Jack Hathaway, Kilo Juliet 5, November, India Victor, on board the International Space Station. The contact is scheduled for 8:56 UTC or 4:56 PM Australian Western Standard Time. The ground station for this contact will be John, Zulu Sierra 6, Juliet Oscar November, who is located in Paddekraal, South Africa. You can view a great countdown dashboard for this contact that was created by Stephen, VK4 Sierra Juliet Victor, and I will make a copy of the link to that countdown page in the text version of this segment. Now, all radio amateurs around the world can listen to this contact live via the Echolink node 69556 or IRLP node 9556, as well as a range of other linked VoIP modes. Please visit the ANZEL.radio website for the full list of all modes and talk groups. Contacts generally last for around about 10 minutes, with callbacks taken by John, VK3HJQ, immediately afterwards for reporting back to NASA. And we hope that you enjoy this contact and look forward to hearing from all of you on the callbacks. Another exciting bit of news is that we now have an ARIS Australia and New Zealand YouTube channel. Now, the channel is still in development, however, the audio for this upcoming contact will be streamed live to anybody that connects to it. Simply search for ARIS Australia and New Zealand in the YouTube search bar to locate it. Once there, hit the subscribe button and you will now be notified whenever a future ARIS contact is about to go live so that you can listen in. You could advertise this YouTube channel to your local community who may not have any other access to amateur radio repeater networks so that they can listen in on an ARIS contact. Something I've noticed recently is the growing number of repeater networks in Australia and New Zealand that are now connecting to either the Echolink or IRLP nodes to listen in to these ARIS contacts, and by doing so are extending the reach of these contacts across to many who have never heard one before. Now, whilst it may be easy to get a bit blasé about these and thinking that, well, you know, I've heard these before and they're nothing special, but for the sake of those who haven't heard one, I would strongly suggest that you please connect on Saturday and allow these people the opportunity to listen into one. It's a great marketing exercise, and you never know, we just may get a few more recruits into amateur radio because you did it. Now, if you feel inspired to involve your club in an ARIS contact, please visit the ARIS page on the WIA website, or contact me directly by email at vk2nwt@gmail.com. I will be sending out an email covering all the details of this segment to all WIA-affiliated clubs prior to next Saturday's contact. This has been Angelo, VK2NWT, on behalf of ARIS, Australia and New Zealand for News West.
Talking about upcoming events, it's now less than 1 week until the biggest event in the VK6 Ham calendar. Yes, the Northern Corridor Radio Group's 2026 Hamfest is on next weekend, 9 a.m. on Sunday, August 30th. It's at the Cyril Jackson Community Hall, Fisher Street in Bassendean, near the Ashfield Railway Station. As usual, there'll be heaps of good stuff, all the second-hand tables, plus radio club displays, and vendors such as Comtech Radio, Ted Emtron, Horizon Antennas, and more. Doors are open from 9 a.m, with entry donation this year of $7, still extremely good value. Sellers can get into setup from 7 a.m, and tables are $10 each. If you still need to book a table, contact the NCRG, but get in fast, because it's nearly too late. Hamfest is, of course, when the NCRG's big raffle is also drawn. There's some great prizes on offer this year. First prize, the big one, is a voucher worth $2,000, and other prizes include ICOM dual-band handhelds and a prize voucher from Comtech Radio. You can buy the raffle tickets online right now. There's no need to wait for Hamfest. Go to rafflelink.com.au and search for Hamfest Raffle 2026. There are links to this on the NCRG's website and also on several of the main email lists. So it promises to be a great day. Look forward to seeing you down there at this year's NCRG Hamfest, 9 a.m. Sunday 30th of August at the Cyril Jackson Hall in Bassendine.
Well, the Remembrance Day contest has been and gone, and from what I'm hearing from around the country, the conditions on HF were not good. And certainly at my location, the bands were so noisy, I couldn't spend more than a couple of hours at a time, and sometimes less, because I couldn't find enough stations to work. There seems to have been a greatly reduced participation in this year's contest. So anyway, I went to bed before midnight on Saturday, intending to get on air around 4 a.m. to work some stations and earn triple points, which are available between 0100 and 0600. And that getting up time would have been around 3 a.m, immediately after the usual bladder call. But my bladder was slow that night and I woke up at 6:05. So how's that for bad luck? I also set out with the intention of working some CW in the contest. Every time I was on air, I'd scan around the CW portions of the bands, and I only heard one station in very poor conditions, and it took me ages to even work out his call sign, so I wasn't going to attempt to work a station in those lousy conditions at my skill level at CW. But anyway, that's enough of my Remembrance Day struggles. How did you go? And importantly, no matter how you went, send your log in. Using your logging app, generate the log. Inspect it for glitches, correct it, save it, send it. Submitting logs has never been so easy. It's all online. Simply go to vklogchecker.com. That's one big long word, no spaces, vklogchecker.com. Checker, C-H-E-C-K-E-R.com, and follow the instructions. And you have until August the 30th. Guess what? That's a week to submit your logs.
Thank you, Bob, for the reminder on the logs. Of course, the RD wasn't the only event on last weekend. Some of us braved the weather, which didn't need much braving because it was nice and sunny, and set up stations at lighthouses for the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend. And where we could, we also joined in the RD. Down south, the Cape's Lighthouse Radio Group had a good team at Cape Lewin, operating VK6 Charlie Lima Lima, with a team including VK6's Papa Alpha Lima, QS, AHW, TEK and AXB. A Cape Naturalist, Nigel, VK6NI led the way, operating VK6 Charlie November Lima, along with VK6's TU and KL. Up at Geraldton, Phil, VK6ADF and the Geraldton Radio Club were at Point Moore, and I think VK6JMD were also out at the North Mole in Fremantle, but apologies if I missed anyone. At VK6CLL, we had some good contacts around VKZL and the region, but DX was harder going. As usual, we could hear stations that we couldn't work, and the few DX lighthouses we got were mostly on FT8. For the RD, we ended up with about 130 contacts, including around 20 overnight in the triple point section, and thanks to all the stations that we did work. Registrations for next year's ILLW, which is August 21st, 22nd, are now open. It's not too early to start planning. And also next year, the RD and Lighthouse will be on separate weekends, meaning we can focus more on each event. And more of us can get on for the 2027 RD under our own call signs. Thanks to all the stations who are out on the air over the weekend. Look forward to working you all next time. And remember, send in your RD logs.
This is VK6ARN.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. When the sun burps, something that it does regularly, the mainstream media starts talking about aurorae and optionally the end of the civilized world. Not always as clinically as that. What's not talked about, let alone explained, is the nature of the solar burp. You've likely heard the terms coronal mass ejection, or CME, solar flare, and perhaps solar wind, solar and geomagnetic storm, and solar flux. But what do these terms actually mean, and how do they relate? Let's start with some basic numbers. Our Sun is 150 million kilometres away from Earth. As seen from Earth, the Sun rotates on its axis every 27 days, called a synodic rotation period, because while the Sun is rotating, Earth is moving too. If that wasn't enough, the Sun isn't solid. Depending on where you're looking at it, rotation happens at different speeds, faster at the equator, slower at the poles. You might have heard of the solar cycle, an 11-year period during which solar activity steadily increases. Near the maximum activity, its magnetic poles flip from north to south, and activity slowly decreases until the cycle starts again. Until quite recently, we've deduced this by counting the number of dark areas, called sunspots, on the surface of the Sun. All this to say that our Sun is one massively dynamic environment, and with it come a whole lot of processes that science is still discovering. The YouTube channel Astrum has a fascinating video called "We Didn't Predict the Sun Would Do This," that describes much of what we're still learning. We experience the Sun as a source of light, but as a radio amateur, you know that light only represents a small set of frequencies in the radio spectrum. It's better to think of the Sun as a radio source, emitting many frequencies at once. The strength of this is measured at 2.8 gigahertz 3 times a day, at 1700, 2000 and 2300 UTC at the Dominion Radio Astrophysical Observatory in Penticton, British Columbia, Canada. This measurement, the solar flux, gives a good indication of the level of solar activity. Adjusted for the varying distance between Earth and the Sun, a solar flux index, or SFI, below 70 means that solar activity is very low. Above 150 is considered very high activity. In addition to radio waves, the Sun also spits out a continuous wave of particles. Different parts of the Sun emit these at different speeds, varying between 300 and 800 kilometers per second. These particles, the solar wind, exist throughout our solar system. Because the Sun rotates and the particles aren't being emitted evenly, we experience the solar wind as having a 27-day cycle. Think of a water-filled beach ball hanging from a rope with a hole in it, spinning, creating spirals of water. Stand in one spot, and every time the ball rotates, you get hit by water. When the Sun burps, often at a sunspot where concentrations of magnetic fields cool the surface, bursts of electromagnetic radiation are generated throughout the radio spectrum. Measured in watts per square meter, this radiation is called a solar flare. Travelling at the speed of light, it takes about 9 minutes to arrive at Earth. Sunspot and solar activity is used to model and predict the potential for solar flares. Strength is classified in 4 stages, Class B being the weakest, through C, M, and Class X being the strongest, each 10 times more powerful than the previous. Within each class, numbers 1 through 9 serve to provide additional resolution, X2 being twice as strong as X1. The most powerful flare on record was estimated to be about X45, recorded on 4 November 2003, when at strength X17 the sensors overloaded. Some solar flares coincide with a massive eruption of particles, some of which are ejected violently, called a coronal mass ejection, or CME. A slow CME, travelling at 500 kilometres per second, might take 3 days to hit Earth. An extreme CME, travelling at up to 2,500 kilometres per second, might arrive in 16 hours. As the CME particles arrive, they distort Earth's geomagnetic field, and depending on the severity, might cause a geomagnetic storm where fields are pushed closer towards Earth, causing visual effects as aurora. Recovery generally takes up to 2 days, but in extreme cases has been observed to take 4. Disturbances of Earth's magnetic field are highly variable and are expressed in several different ways. The K, Kp, A, Ap, and G indices. The K index, measured at individual observatories, ranges from 0 to 9 over a 3-hour period, represents the maximum horizontal fluctuation in the geomagnetic field. Values of 5 and above indicating a geomagnetic storm. The planetary Kp index represents a weighted average of 13 mid-latitude observatories. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, uses a G scale between 1 and 5, equivalent to a Kp index between 5 and 9. The A index is derived over 8 K index readings over a 24-hour UTC period at a particular observatory. Below 20 is calm, between 20 and 50 is unsettled, and above 50 is a stormy day. The AP index is an average planetary index based on data from a set of specific Kp stations. There's more. In 1760, a publication by Swiss polymath Leonard Euler indicated the existence of 3 stationary points between any 2 large bodies, known today as L1, L2, and L3. In 1772, Italian-born French mathematician, physicist, and astronomer Joseph Louis Lagrange discovered 2 more stationary points, L4 and L5. Known as the Euler-Lagrange or Lagrange points, some of these locations are being used today for solar observations, predictions, and early warning systems. Launched on 24 September 2025 and in orbit at L1 between the Sun and Earth at a distance of 1.5 million kilometers from Earth, the Solar One satellite acts as an early warning for solar storms. Since particles travel slower than the speed of light, this provides about 15 minutes warning for extreme CMEs and longer for slower events. It became fully operational on the 10th of June 2026. As part of the same Space Situational Awareness Program as Solar One is the European Space Agency's Vigil space mission. Intended to be placed at L5, 150 million kilometres from Earth, it will be able to observe solar activity as the Sun rotates towards Earth, and reports indicate that this will increase early CME warning by 2 to 4 hours. Vigil will also allow for 4 to 5 day space weather forecasts. It's planned for launch in 2031. Mind you, it's going to take 3 years to get to L5. Aimed with all that information, I was actually, for the first time, able to at least understand the solar report in my Mastodon feed. Quote, "The sunspot number has dropped to 88. The solar flux index has risen to 149. G1 class geomagnetic storms are predicted for today. A index is 14. K index is 2. Chance of flares today, 55% for M class, 10% for X class." End quote. Armed with that information, I'm going to make myself a cuppa and figure out what my whisper beacon has to say about all this. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
NewsWest, VK6ARN, across Western Australia.
And now an update from WAG, the West Australian Repeater Group. We'll have tables at Hamfest next weekend, and WAG looks forward to seeing everyone there. The following week, Monday, September 7th, is WAG's next meeting, where we'll be hearing from a guest speaker, WAG member Mitch, VK6 X-ray Bravo. Mitch will give a presentation on the radio direction finding system he is developing. There's been a bit of email list discussion and on-air discussion about this the last few weeks, and it promises to be a pretty interesting technical evening. Now, we know radio direction finding is not new. However, what is new about VK6XB's system, which is called Vectorus, is the combination of several direction-finding techniques to track RF signals using software-defined radios. On September 7th at the meeting, Mitchell explained how the system works, including how it uses time difference of arrival techniques, the use of SDR and IQ sampling, GPS and similar timing and synchronization, phase-based direction finding using multiple antennas, antenna spacing, switching, and also combining measurements from multiple stations to get a better result. There's also a planned live demonstration, so you can see Vectorus in action rather than just hearing about it. If you're interested in RF, SDR, antennas, or direction finding, then come along. The presentation is by Mitch, VK6 X-ray Bravo, at WAAG's next meeting, Monday, September 7th. It's at the usual venue, the First Pelican Point Sea Scouts facility, which is number 12, Australia 2 Drive in Crawley. The doors will be open at 7 for a 7:30 p.m. start, with the usual tea, coffee and refreshments available, and of course, visitors are welcome. I'll see you all there. This has been Anthony, VK6AXB, on behalf of WAAG.
Hi, I'm Bob, VK6POP, and I'm here to tell you about RASA, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. RASA's AGM comes up in September and all positions were declared open for nomination and the nominations have now closed. However, we've included some ordinary committee non-executive positions this year, which don't necessarily need to be elected, which gives people a chance to be part of the committee process without the burden of executive responsibility. And I'm keen to get some new blood on board, and if you're even mildly interested, give me a shout and we can talk about it. And I'll be at the NCRG Hamfest next weekend, so please do have a yarn with me. RASA's QTC magazine, August edition, was published recently, and again, loaded with lots of useful information. Now, QTC is presented in a read-on-the-screen page-flipping format and as a PDF download. It's available to everyone, no membership required, and it's free. So go to the RASA webpage, which is vkradioamateurs.org, to find QTC magazine. And while you're there, have a snoop around the free resources that RASA offers. And I mentioned previously that I'm making preparations for manning a table at Hamfest, and I'm there to promote RASA and to answer any questions about the organisation, and of course to catch up with people. Just a warning, I can be a bit face blind, so if you walk past and look at me, I'll give you a blank stare. Say, listen up, you fool, I'm Fred Smith, VK6, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's perfectly allowable. August is RASA membership renewal time, so please send in your $10 membership and any other donation that you wish to make towards RASA's work. As you know, everything from RASA is free. Anyway, I'm Bob, VK6POP. See you at Hamfest.
Good morning, it's me again. Yes, Roy, VK6X-ray Victor. This week's disposal helpline, 23rd of August, 2026. Today I'm looking for help for Ron, VK6 Kilo Hotel Zulu. He's looking for a tube or a valve for his HMV model 410 that he's restoring. It's a 1940 radiogram. If anyone has one spare, that's not the radiogram, the 6L6G tube that we're looking for, a 6 Lima 6 Golf tube or valve, and if you have one or know of anyone who may have one, please contact Ron. His email address is Romeo Oscar November Bravo figures 28 at hotmail.com. Ron Bravo 28 at hotmail.com. And without going over all my previous stuff, which could take half an hour, I'll leave it there because that's all the new stuff I have this week. But if you have any wish for any disposal or wanted item, please contact me. Email address being vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And I will deal with it. Thank you. And this is Roy, VK6XV73, until we meet again. Cheers.
And thank you once again, Roy. And that brings us to the end of the broadcast for another week. I'd like to thank all of you for listening, and especially thank the broadcasters, relay stations, and all who submitted items for the news. We're always looking for more, so if you've got something newsworthy, why not record it in MP3, preferably 256 kbit mono, or whatever you can manage, and email it to newswest@vk6.net, along with your contact details, in case we need to follow anything up. Send it to us as soon as you can. If it arrives by noon on Friday, it should make that Sunday's news, but the earlier the better. Callbacks will follow on most frequencies, and we're grateful for our dedicated callback operators, like Mac, VK6 Mike Mike, who each week takes the callbacks on the Mount William and Mount Saddleback repeaters, VK6RMW and VK6RMS. Mac's done this for many years. Thank you, Mac. So, you've either been listening to, or you have just missed, News West. All being well, we'll do this again next week. Until then, 7-3 from VK6ARN.